Mark Gaffney. He is the current president of the AFL-CIO. Mark, how are you?
Good morning, Tony. What are you talking about, 38 degrees? Goodness.
I can't believe it, Mark. But fall and winter, I don't know. It's good to talk to you.
Well, it's thank you very much for having me back on your show, Tony.
Well, why are you stepping down?
I've been there 12 years. We've done an awful lot. I like to think we've laid very good groundwork for the future. But the climate has changed in Lansing, as you probably know, and my skill set is more toward finding compromise, building things, moving the state together in common ground. And what the environment is today is it's a fight. It's a battle. I hesitate to use the word war, but it's very mean, and maybe the word ugly applies. And that time, that environment calls for, I think, different tactics and different leadership.
Did UAW President Bob King ask you to step down?
No, I've been thinking about this for a number of months and talked to an awful lot of our affiliates along the way. The decision to who to have as president is made by an awful lot of different unions. It's a true federation. Of course, those unions that are larger and have more votes count more, but no one union on its own can rule the day.
Do you feel that you've lost some of the support from those unions?
I feel like, we were talking about this last night, actually. I feel like it's time for a change so that our affiliates, who are used to Mark Gaffney coming in the door and saying, okay, guys, it's time to do this, it's time to do that, it's now an opportunity for those affiliates to see someone else, to work on a little bit different model, and to try basically to get to the same place, of course, where we're electing progressive, pro-union, pro-working family candidates, but to get to that same place perhaps in a different way.
I read an article in Crane's Detroit Business, also read another article written by Nolan Finley from the Detroit News, and both those pieces think that you are stepping down because the Democrats took such huge hits during the last election. You agree or disagree with that?
No, you know what? I do disagree with that, and I'll tell you why. It was almost a national phenomenon. It was certainly a Midwest and a Northeast phenomenon. From New Hampshire to Missouri, Democrats and working people went backwards in politics in the year 2010. So I don't think I was singled out at all. That would just be non-realistic. Michigan is one of many states that went what we'd call upside down in 2010.
How does it make you feel to be stepping away?
I would say somebody said it's bittersweet, and I guess maybe that's a way to put it. We've made an awful lot of good friends over the years. The people that work in the labor movement serving others, union officials, spend their whole time trying to make other people's lives better. They're wonderful people. I don't know that I'm going very far. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do, but the opportunity to look for new things and still, I hope, still help working people from another job, another viewpoint, another opportunity, that's kind of exciting. So that's the sweet aspect to it.
The guy that steps in and sits in your chair is the head of the Michigan AFL-CIO. What's he going to have to focus on?
Tony, you're showing your chauvinism. We expect that the winner of the election next month is going to be a woman. Her name is Carla Swift. And she's good. I'm just kidding you here. Mm-hmm. She's going to focus on an organizing model, and she's going to work more with the community and union members together.
Tell us about Carla Swift. What do you know about her?
Well, I've known her for a very long time. The job she held the longest at the UAW was the administrative assistant to the National Secretary Treasurer when Elizabeth Bunn was in that job. Carla's a true organizer. She ran the organizing department there for a while. So she understands how to say to everyone, including a rank and file member, here's what we need to do. Here's what you need to think about to connect the dots. Here's what you can do about it for activism. And now let's get going. You know, it's sort of a top-down or a bottom-up approach, quite frankly. I enjoyed working with the leadership and appreciated, I guess would be a word, each individual structure. And so it's probably true that I didn't reach into each union structure the way that possibly could be done. I think Carla's going to do that. I think she's going to work with unions more to try to reach, try to be more helpful to the unions to reach every single member. The answer is today, because we have fewer members, maybe 80% of them voting our way, which was, you know, 83% was our high water mark with Governor Granholm. Maybe that's not enough, for goodness sake. You've got to get closer to 100%.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So that grassroots model is an exciting one to try, and that's the change that folks were looking for.
Why shouldn't union members be allowed not to be members of the union?
Why? I'm sorry, ask that again?
I guess why should workers be forced to join a union?
Oh, okay, for the same reason that milk producers are forced to be part of the Michigan Milk Producers Co-op, for the same reason that Republican Party members have to pay dues to be a member. I mean, you get the benefits. The club doesn't run unless it's supported by its members, whether it's the VFW hall or the local union. I would tell you it's kind of common sense. You can't have 10, 20, 30% of the members not financially supporting the organization, no matter what it is, yet drawing all the benefits and drawing the cost. It's just that simple. It has nothing to do with unionism. It's that way with any organization.
The role of the union, you and I have talked about this before, has changed. Do we still need unions?
Oh, heavens, yes. You've got people out there working so hard these days, because when we went through the recession, the downturn a year ago and the 2 years before that, what did companies do? They laid people off. What did they ask the ones remaining behind to do? Work harder, pick up the work of the ones who were laid off. So workers need a voice on the job. Workers need to make sure they're in the competition for good benefits. The wage disparity in this country, Tony, is the worst it's ever been, possibly in recorded history. Certainly the only time it's been near this has been right before the Great Depression. And I would tell you that individual workers at some individual work sites may have enlightened supervision and enlightened management and enlightened bosses. We find that. But I would say that the middle class as a whole has more need for unions today than perhaps any time in our history.
You know, I'm running out of time, Mark. I could talk to you for an hour. We're going to have to get you in here for a couple of cups of coffee. The last question I will ask you, after more than 90 years, a congressional district in New York has seated a Republican after the Democrats have dominated there for almost a century. Same thing happened in Nevada, where a Republican took over a Democratic seat. What's that say about the Democratic Party?
I have to dig into that. I can tell you I'm kind of surprised about those races this morning. My knee-jerk reaction is the voters are not connecting the dots. These are middle-class districts, they're middle-class voters. They seem to be voting against their interest. We got to figure it out.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Tony, very much.